Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, hey. One and all. It is I, the man, candlelit, and the Alpha and Omega, and the Incubator, and the creator of this fantastic show, which I am host. This show known as Inside Acting. Thank you, and finally hear an interview conducted by the host of the coach. Some ways we can deal with tax season. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She's been in the financial literacy field for over a decade now. And she's worked everywhere from the National Association of Securities Dealers to KPMG, LLP. And she's been a frequent guest on several local news talk shows, guiding the public to better understanding the credit crisis and how the average person can protect their assets in difficult times. So let me bring her right on in. Jennifer Streaks, let me bring her on in. Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. You know, I was telling everybody today, I said I sprained my wrist shoveling snow yesterday. It was terrible. It was a terrible blizzard.
Wow. Yeah, it was barely a blizzard, right?
Yeah, it was like the blizzard of zero accumulation.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get into some game here. Now, what's some of the most important deductions for self-employed performers?
The self-employed performers or people in general, it's going to be anything that applies to your business, because I've been self-employed myself and had to file that 1099 form.
Uh-huh.
And so anything that is applicable to your business, from, you know, gas mileage on your car, if you have an office in your home, you definitely want to make sure that you deduct anything that has to do with that, whether it's the phone, the fax, copying. I mean, even if you go to Kinko's, the reason why Kinko's will say, do you want a receipt for any sort of work that you do there, is because you can deduct that from your taxes. So it's very important to track all of your expenses. Even if you're going to conferences to increase your knowledge and your area of expertise, that stuff, all of that is deductible and is very important.
Okay, so now, you know, one of my past guests, Gabriel Voss, he was a lawyer here in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and he said the day that he left his job as a lawyer to go to L.A. to be an actor, it was the scariest day of his life, but at the same time, he couldn't stop smiling.
Right.
He spoke about the necessity of saving money before he moved out there. So what's some tips you would give those making a move like that?
Well, if you know, if you're employed currently and you know that you want to make your own business, you want to start your own business, you want to go out and become an actor or an actress, you want to start a PR company, while you're employed, you know, make your job work for you. Start saving, I would say, up to a year to 18 months worth of expenses, because
okay.
It may take you that long to finally hit, you know, or to meet the people that you need to meet and to make a significant impact to where you are finally bringing in income. So while you are working, even though this is not the job, this is not where you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years, start saving that money now because you know you have a plan. And put away that emergency fund so when you finally do leave, you can be smiling like Gabriel and say, oh, I'm starting to really embark on what it is I truly want to do with my life. And I don't have any financial headaches because I have this fund put aside, survival fund, as you call it.
Yeah, and how much of a percentage of income do you think performers should put away to accomplish something like that?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a percentage. I think that you should seek to save 12 months to 18 months worth of expenses, basically a year to a year and a half worth of expenses, you know, from mortgage or rent, your utilities. Think about, you know, gas back and forth. You have to take meetings. Think about even the little things. If you need to make copies, if you need to get headshots, if you, anything that you think, that's what you need to sit down and write out. This is my goal. I want to be an actor. What is everything that is involved in that? From headshots to taking meetings to publicists to that coffee meeting I take every day with, you know, whoever to get my name out there into the industry. Think about all of that and put aside 12 months, a year to a year and a half worth of expenses.
Okay.
So that you can, so that you have that money at the ready.
We're going to switch gears here and talk about what's some of the best ways to track expenses.
The best way to track expenses, number one, you have to keep all of your receipts. And you have to write everything down. I have seen people, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it seems like a very common sense comment, but I've seen people, they pull money out of the ATM, and instead of keeping that receipt, they immediately throw it away. That is the worst thing you can do. You need to track when you're taking money out of the ATM, when you are spending money on this and that, keep those receipts, and weekly. You know, if you're, you know, everyone has sort of like a relaxing day, typically on Sunday. Sunday is the best day to go ahead and sit down with all of your receipts from the week and say, okay, wow, and write all of that down. Keep all of your receipts because they might, you might be able to write that off on your taxes. And just sit and see what you're spending your money on. That is the best way to track expenses, to write everything down, but keep all of your receipts from dry cleaning to ATM, coffee, gas, everything. Keep it all and then sort it out at the end of the week.
So what's your opinion of a website like Mint? Is that any good?
Mint is actually a great website. I think that if you're someone that isn't necessarily computer savvy, if you're someone, I think I don't want anything that makes it seem like it's a chore. I want you to have the easiest way possible to do what it is that you want to do. So if you have to just get the pen and paper, then just do that. It's better than not tracking expenses. It's better than not doing anything. Just if you have to get a pen and a piece of paper and put it in a, you know, a journal, do that. Mint is also, mint.com is also a great way as well if you're going to commit to doing that. But if all you can do is save your receipts and at the end of the week write it down in a journal, then do that too.
You know, I have a combination of old school and new school. I write stuff down, I keep receipts, but I also put things in a Google spreadsheet too. So I don't know where that puts me.
I think that puts you, if that's what works for you, then that's what works for you. And that's what, I mean, it's just, you have to decide what is the best thing that works for you and not feel like you have to put yourself in a box or do what everyone else is doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's the best way to stay out of debt?
Oh, my gosh. The best way to stay out of debt is to be cash and cash only. That is the best way to stay out of debt. I mean, just, I mean, be cash only. And if you have a credit card, pay it off at the end of every month. I've even, you know, commented on, you know, wealthy celebrities. You always hear about these wealthy celebrities that go bankrupt at some point in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 5 and 6 houses here, and they take the trips to Aspen and Vail where they're paying $10,000 a week for a villa there, and they're flying first class or in their private jets. if you have five houses and you're a successful actor or actress, there is no reason why you should have five mortgages. There is no reason why you should have five mortgages. Yeah, okay, you have the tax write-off, whatever, whatever. So you have one house. If you want a second home, a third home, you should be able to pay cash for those houses or you can't afford it. You don't need two and three mortgage deductions on your taxes. That's not saving you a whole bunch of money. I mean,
right.
You know what I'm saying? The best thing is to, what saves you money is not being in debt. If you're
don't start.
Exactly. If you're a successful actor or actress and you're bringing in, let's just say, $5, $10 million a year, what do you have a mortgage for? That makes no sense to me. I would buy a house cash because you know what? Nothing stays the same forever. We all age. We all get older. You know, one moment you're hot, the next minute you're not. And there's always the new classes coming behind you. You know, one minute you're the ingenue, the next minute you're the mother. It happens to everybody. So when you are in that position where you're making all this money and you want this particular life, cash it out. Pay cash for it. If I want this house in Aspen or Utah, then I'm going to pay cash for it. And I don't have that debt.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'm gonna say a sentence, and you're going to fill in the blank.
Okay.
I throw you a little curveball here. If you can't afford a car in blank years, you can't afford it.
If you can't afford a car in 3 years, you can't afford it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't do the 7 year, because they have it there for you. If you want to stretch your car payment out 7 years, they will let you do that. By the time you get, when you look at the interest payment, you've bought like two and a half cars.
Not worth it.
At all. I would say because of the way that cars depreciate so quickly as soon as you drive them off the lot.
Right.
It almost doesn't make sense to buy a new car.
Exactly.
It makes sense to me to buy a car that's that same model, 2 to 3 years older, and pay cash for it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's exactly what I think.
Now, going back to debt, let's say you're already in debt. What's some strategies to get out of debt?
Well, the first thing you have to do is find out what is your lowest and what is your highest debt number. So most people, your highest debt number is going to be your mortgage. Okay. And you have to have, there's always going to be some sort of payment associated with the place that you live. And you have a mortgage deduction, so that's fine. But if you find that you have 5, 6 credit cards, then the next step is to figure out, do I really need this many credit cards? Are they all up to the limit? What's my debt-to-income ratio? And how can I start getting rid of some of this debt? And when you're trying to pay off credit card debt or lines of credit debt, then you start to pay off the least to the greatest until you've paid everything off, up until, you know, what you feel like you need. There's nothing wrong with having, like, one or two credit cards. What is most important is your utilization of your credit and being smart in how you use your credit. A credit card or a line of credit is not for you to buy shoes or buy a dress or buy a suit or go to dinner on every night of the week. Credit should be used in emergency situations, if you are out of town, if there is a need for it. It is not an everyday thing. You shouldn't be using, in my opinion, a credit card to buy Starbucks coffee, because understand that when you use a credit card, you pay interest on that. So do you really want to pay interest on a cup of coffee. You would think that you would pay that cash and keep moving forward. So it's just, it's not credit isn't bad. It is the utilization of credit and being smart in how you use credit that you have to figure out. And the first thing to do to get out of credit, get out of debt, I should say, is to figure out how to pay that debt off in the quickest and most sensible manner.
Yeah, and it's a good idea not to, like you say, not to spend, use your credit card for perishables. I think that's a big trap that a lot of people fall into. So let's switch gears and let's talk about tax issues concerning LLCs. What are some of the gotchas and things people have to look out for? Because a lot of performers, you know, they have their own production companies, things of that nature. So what's some of the pitfalls and things to look out for if you are the owner of an LLC?
The main thing I see with someone who's an owner of an LLC is that they try to run all of their expenses through an LLC. And the IRS is aware of this. So the first thing they will do, that's a quick way to get audited. You totally get on their radar when you try to run what is obviously personal expenses through an LLC and try to write off everything, every trip, every car, everything that you do, every meeting, every lunch, every dinner through this company. You cannot do that. If you have an LLC, you really have to be mindful of keeping all of those receipts, of making sure, because they're going to ask you, they're going to come at you, they're going to come at your tax preparer, and they're going to say, was this really a business lunch? I've been, you know, at lunch with individuals that have their own businesses, LLCs, whatever, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, ask me something about my business. And I'll say, okay, and then they'll say back to me, well, I can write this lunch off now. It's not that easy anymore. The IRS is fully aware of what individuals are doing with that. And that is a very quick way to find yourself on the audit list. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to maintain and keep all of your records, all of your receipts, make sure that everything is legitimate and honest. Even if you buy a car for the business, make sure you're using it for the business.
Right.
You know, you can't just, you know, that's what people do. I mean, they try to write off everything, and it is a complete red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the main thing.
Okay, what's some other things that you look out for?
In terms of the LLC, they should be aware of, when you have your own business, you have to be aware of tax developments on the federal and state level. Because I see so many people operating, and the IRS puts out new regulations, I think maybe every 2 years, and you have to be aware of that. Because with the IRS, ignorance of the law is absolutely no excuse. So now you have to be sort of diligent and making sure that what you're doing in terms of your taxes is under the law. You can't just say, oh, I have this business, I have this LLC, I can run all of my expenses through it, I don't have to pay attention to the IRS anymore because I'm a business. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that anymore. You have to be aware of any tax developments. It's now incumbent on you. It's almost as though you have a greater tax responsibility because you're a business and you have this LLC than you did as an individual.
Yeah, and you know, the IRS, I heard, I think a couple years ago, they hired like 100,000 new agents or something like that. They're serious. Yeah.
Because, you know, they say that so many individuals owe back taxes, companies, LLCs, owe back taxes, and they hired all of these new tax processors, right when the economy started experiencing this downturn, because the federal government needed revenue. So they're coming after you, you know,
yep.
And they're auditing you, and they want us, and when they engage you in an audit, it is for that year. The red flag was thrown up in that specific year, but they want to see 3 years prior.
Wow.
Huh. You know, so now they're going to catch you, because if this is what you're doing, you just happen to get caught, for example, in 2013. You just happen to get caught, but this is your pattern. You've been doing this since, you know, 2010.
Mm.
So now you're going to get on the hook for 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Mm.
Which can add up. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's switch gears and talk about some tax tips for parents of child actors.
Mm-hmm. Parents of child actors. Oh, I just, you know, the child actor thing is such a hot button issue, because typically the parents have control of the child's earnings because they're under the age of 18.
Okay.
Okay. So typically this money should be put in a trust or some sort of fund for the child that they can then access based upon whatever agreement is put in place at 18 or 21. And as you know, we've always heard of, you know, these child actors that grow up and say, oh, my parents, you know, they took all of my money, they spend all of the money on their lifestyle, X, Y, and Z, which I feel I sort of split down the middle on that. It's like, well, you know, yeah, it was also your upkeep as well, but, you know, they're saying you spent all of my money. But I think that parents of child actors should engage a tax professional. That's what they
okay.
should be doing, to make sure that they're handling the money in the preferred manner, that there is some sort of trust set up, even if you're taking a percentage and saying that, yes, we're taking a percentage of this money for the actor's upkeep within our home and, you know, for us too, because the parent typically travels with the child, goes to auditions and X, Y, and Z with the child to pay for trips and, you know, things like that. So it's not as though this child, since they are a child, it's not like they're doing everything themselves, but I think that the bulk of their money needs to be put in some sort of trust. And with that, you would need to engage a trust professional, a tax professional, to make sure that that's set up correctly.
Yeah,
that's the best way.
That segues into my next question is, what do you think is better, accountants or a program like TurboTax?
Accountants. Do you even have to ask?
It's a rhetorical question.
I know. I mean, it's just like if you want to go and get checked out physically, you're not going to do it yourself. You're going to go to a doctor, correct?
Absolutely. I agree with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So it's the same thing with your taxes. I mean, TurboTax is great, and it's a great way to sort of quickly, if you have no deduction, you have no issues. But who really has no issues? None at all, unless you're like 15 and this is your first job.
Exactly.
I mean, you need a tax professional to navigate through all of the tax laws and everything that changes in your life through the years. I always recommend going to a tax professional. Do not do it yourself.
Yeah, I get an argument from my friendly arguments from my dad, and he said he used to think the remote control was the best invention ever in the history of mankind. So now it's TurboTax,
no,
and we keep getting these arguments about it. I keep trying to tell him. I say, well, an accountant just knows so many different laws. There's some laws that seem like they change the laws practically in the middle of the year. I mean, things
exactly.
come down from the state legislature, and is this thing and that thing, and it just is so many bits to keep up with. There's no software invented, I don't think, that could really kind of holistically look at a person. And, you know, like I said, we all have issues. It's not, we all have issues unless you're, you know, you 17 starting out with your first job flipping burgers.
Correct.
So you definitely need a professional.
I agree with that.
Yep. So let's talk about the 1099 miscellaneous form. When would actors need to file that?
You need to file a 1099 whenever, you know, whoever you're working for is not taking out taxes. That's just across the board because you have to file taxes. And also, if you have any sort of personal expenses that you can deduct, those are the two instances.
Okay.
But when no taxes are being taken out of your pay, if you get a huge lump sum,
mm-hmm.
you have to file that. You have to file that form to make sure that your taxes are paid because you don't want to sort of engage in that habit where you get this lump sum, it goes into the bank, and you just spend it or it goes into the savings, and then they catch you 5-10 years down the road, and then you're in a world of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, Jennifer, I have to apologize. Some of these questions are sort of, they're very simple. I know you're knocking them out of the park, but it's sort of like, we have a lot of listeners from various stages in life, so I'm sort of kind of
exactly. But I'm
trying to put that out there.
Let's look at someone like Wesley Snipes. Look at someone like Wesley Snipes, who has had
yep.
a huge tax issue.
Right.
He totally believed in his life that he did not have to pay taxes for whatever reason. And this went on, and then all of a sudden he owed like $1 million, $2 million in taxes, didn't have it because, of course, by the time the IRS caught up with him, he was in sort of a downswing of his career. And now he's having this seriously. You know, that's what happens. They will catch you. The IRS will catch up to you at some point.
Well, they sure will.
As long as you have a Social Security number, they will catch up to you at some point, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're going to catch you. So the best thing that you can do is just get on the right habit now and file your taxes and pay your taxes as appropriate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're coming up on, I guess we have about 10 more minutes left. I got a couple more good questions to throw at you here. So, now this is a complicated question. I don't know if it's kind of a strange question, but let me just go ahead and ask and see what happens. So now,
okay. Can
actors deduct the time they spend rehearsing at a nonprofit theater?
No. That's just like, okay, for instance, if I were out, not the time you spend rehearsing,
uh-huh.
you can deduct your gas, your parking, anything like that, but not that time that you spend rehearsing, no. No, anything that it takes to get you there,
uh-huh.
that time, that's the actual, it's a non-profit, but still, that's you deciding to do that work. No, not that time, but what it takes to get you there, certainly.
Okay, and speaking of what it takes to get you there, what about gas? So what's the current rate of gas mileage you can deduct? What's the cents?
Oh my gosh, the last time I did gas mileage deduction, it was about, let's see, for every dollar, it was like, I want to say 30 cents. It's not dollar for dollar, which is not. Yeah, that's the thing. It is not the best. But the last time I did a gas mileage deduction, it was like 30 cents for every dollar. But I will tell you that in 2011, the IRS did raise it for motorists. So it's 55 cents a mile for their taxable income.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's not dollar for dollar.
Oh, okay.
It's not dollar for dollar. So for motorists, you know, actors, whoever, that use their personal vehicles or business, you can deduct 55 cents a mile from your taxable income for that.
Okay.
But it's not dollar for dollar.
Okay.
So if you spend $200, then you have to do, it's 55 cents a mile, not dollar for dollar.
Here's another question for you. Can an actor deduct gifts to his agent?
Oh, if they send gifts?
Yeah, some agents like gifts. You know, you send your agent hooked you up with a nice gig, and you want to send.
And then for the Christmas, you want to send like a gift.
Yeah, some flowers or something like that. Could you deduct that?
If it was part of your business, you know, that sort of thing. If it's all part of your business, actors can. Yeah, that's all part of your business.
Oh, now wait a minute. Now you're telling me that if you don't have either an LLC or a sole proprietorship. They couldn't deduct it.
For instance, I have a business.
Right.
Okay. So if I send, I have an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So I send things and I get paid through my LLC. But if I'm just, I would have to explain that. I would have to say I sent a gift to my agent. For basically getting me this acting position.
Uh-huh.
But I would have to explain that. It would go easier if it went through your LLC.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, unless you saved a receipt, unless you really took the steps to prove that this is what it is, it's related to your business, that you're an actor, that it's related to your business, it just looks like you just bought a box of chocolates and gave it to someone.
Oh, okay. So it gives you that hedge of protection, that proof.
That's my point. It's all about the legitimacy with the IRS. Don't ever come off looking like you're trying to just say, oh, I just did this, I want this deduction. That's going to raise the red flag. You want to do everything you can, like you said, to have the hedge of protection and to have that air of legitimacy around everything that you're submitting to the IRS.
Right, right. Exactly. Okay, so we'll come up near the end here. So talk about how performers, what's some good strategies to owe less tax?
The best strategies, like you said, like we talked about earlier, track all of your expenses. Make
mm-hmm.
sure you keep all of your receipts. Anything that is deductible, your gas mileage, headshots, anything that you can prove is related to you pursuing the career of being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have a home office, that all is legitimate. All of that can be recorded.
Okay.
That's the best way to owe less tax. And I guess I can't emphasize enough that you have to really maintain the accurate records, because that's what gets people in trouble. If you just submit and say, oh, you know, I'm an actor. And the thing is, everyone is not an actor like Brad Pitt is an actor or George Clooney is an actor.
Right.
If you are just someone that's, you know, in, you know, the local theater, or you're someone who was an extra on Law and Order, you've got to really document that. You've got to say, look, you know, yeah, I was an extra on Law and Order this year, and I got paid this amount. I had to fly to New York. I had to interview with X, Y, and Z. I had to catch the train. I was there for however many hours. I had to rent this uniform, or they gave me this. I mean, you really have to work and, like I said, put the air of legitimacy around everything that you're doing. So that's
absolutely
the best way in terms of owing less tax, is looking to see what all of your possible expenses are related to your career of being an actor. And making sure that those are legitimate deductions. Legitimate deductions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got, I think, two more questions. I'm kind of going to shift gear. Oh, and then I'll give you a chance to promote yourself. Now, this is kind of shifting a little bit away from taxes, but more to, I'm a young actor, I don't have a lot of money. What's the best place to put my money short term and have it grow?
The best place to put your money and have it grow would be, I always tout mutual funds.
Okay.
Because the reason why I love mutual funds is because you get the benefit, you can have a diversified mutual fund where you have the benefits of the stock market and various indexes without as much of the risk.
Hmm.
Okay, and you can be as aggressive as you feel comfortable with, but it's not that you're just totally in the stock market, which is a little more volatile than I think you would want to be if you want your money to grow.
Hmm. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, Jennifer, I have a trick question for you. It's something that I admit I don't know the answer right off the top of my head. I guess I should know. We should all know. But what's the deadline to turn in your taxes this year?
It's April 15th. It falls on a Monday.
Okay. All right. You're on
point.
Well,
you know, we had the 17th the last time because I think the 15th was on a Saturday or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, but the 15th is on a Monday this year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of odd that it was on the 17th last year. That's very rare. Yeah.
Very rare, but it's always April 15th. Yeah, if it's last, you know, the last time it was on a weekend, so you got an extra day or two, but this April 15th is on a Monday.
Okay. All right, Jennifer, before I let you go, just talk a little bit more about yourself and what you do, and
yeah,
just
sure.
Wrap up with your website and then how performers or anybody else could get in contact with you and take advantage of your services.
Certainly. So I have a website. It's jenniferstreaks.com, and on there I always have money tips. I have clips from various television shows I've been on, as well as my Twitter feed and articles that I write. I have a financial planner that's out right now. It's called Your 2013 Financial Planner, and there's a link to it on my website. And that's the best place when we talk about tracking expenses and how to stay out of debt and just watching what you spend. This is what it is. It's a financial journal. And you can write down everything from your financial accounts, your financial goals, your financial expenses in this one very nice place. I'm very proud of this project, and it's all on my website, jenniferstreaks.com.
Okay. All right. And you said now that tool you talked about, is there a cost associated with that?
It's only $24. So for $24, you can get yourself on the road to financial health and peace. I mean, peace, financial peace is just, you can't put a price on it. I think there's so many of us that have been dealing with financial ups and downs for the last 4 to 5 years. And if there's one, you know, sort of one spot that you can put all of your financial issues, hopes, goals, accounts in just one spot and know that it's there and it's safe, and anything that's on your mind, I mean, you can actually write in it, put your notes, your thoughts, telephone numbers, anything all in one spot. How could you not want that? I think for $24, oh my gosh, I'd buy it like 5 times.
Well, sounds like a very, very good tool. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely check it out. I'm gonna definitely check it out. I was looking at your website before the interview. It looked very impressive, and that tool looks fantastic. I mean, I've seen other tools out there. I mean, you got tools like you have online versions of tax software. You got Mint. You got Google Spreadsheets. Well, I'm a big proponent of that. But I'm about to check your tool out. So that
definitely sounds like a
plan.
Simple and easy to use. So I'm very happy with it.
That's good. That's good. Sounds like you put a lot of work into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jennifer. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I definitely want to have you on again sometimes. And
definitely.
Next time we'll just maybe delve a little bit more into investments and. I don't think we touched on budgeting, really. I wanted to keep us talking about taxes, but I think the next time maybe we'll touch a little bit more on budgeting and just trying to stay solvent, just a little, some more things about how to stay out of debt. We'll just kind of touch on some different subjects.
Perfect. Definitely. I look forward to it.
Okay. All right, Jennifer, well, you have a great night, and thanks again for calling in and being my guest tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. And I got a quote for all my listeners out there. And this quote is from none other than the great Wayne Dyer, one of my all-time favorites. And he says that if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Good night, everybody.
He's the guy who's the talk of the town with the restless guy. Vomits on the run, boy, keeps the vomits on the run. You may think he's a sleepy type guy, always takes his time. Soon I know you'll be changing your mind when you've seen him use a gun, boy, when you've seen him use a gun. The top of the West, always cool is the best. He keeps alive with his car 45. You won't bother to fool him around when you've seen him. Gone. He's the top.